We're going money back mad here at Paddy Power. We're offering money back as a free bet on all losing goal scorer, what odds Paddy, and correct score bets on selected games. Check our app today for more information. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post World Cup postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me in the studio are Mark Langdon and Dan Childs. And we've also got, over in Ireland, Jason Murphy from Paddy Power. We are looking back on the semis and looking ahead, obviously, to the final two games, the final and the third, fourth playoff. Why they had still persevered with that, I don't know, but there might be some value bets. We'll look back on the tournament as well, because it has been absolutely fantastic. The boys will be giving us best match, best player. We'll look back on some of the inspired gambles and who won the battle between the punters and the bookies. But first of all, I must sprinkle Dan Childs with metaphorical rose petals and thank him as well, because he put me onto a big price winner. Hopefully put you onto a big price winner as well, more importantly. This is what he said when I asked for his best bet for the semi-final between England and Croatia.
The England team, I'm looking at the centre-halves, Maguire and Stones are both 25-1 at set pieces, but I've gone even bigger than that. Trippier, I mean, he's taking pretty much all of the England free kicks. He's taken a couple of good ones as well. The trajectory's right, and I just wonder, you know, one of them might go in quite soon. He's 55-1 to score the first goal.
I just think
it's not one you can say, oh, it's going to happen, but
it's worth
price.
Five,
yeah, I think it's worth taking on.
Now, Dan said it isn't one you could say is going to happen, but it bloody well did happen, Dan. Fantastic. How much did you win? What? What do you mean?
I don't often do first score bets, but it's one of them. I've looked at the match result prices, and I didn't really see a lot of value in the main markets that I looked to tip on. I'll usually try and fancy one team or the other, and yeah, went further down, and it'd been catching my eye earlier in the tournament, but fortunately, this was the one that I saved it for.
Well, it's a fantastic tip. I managed to have a bit on as well. I hope plenty of people did. Actually, a lot of people on Twitter were saying that they backed him on the back of what you said on the postcard.
Brilliant.
So congratulations, Dan. It was
Thanks
a great tip. You'd have tipped him as well, wouldn't you, Mark?
No.
Good shout.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I texted Dan at half time. He was absolutely buzzing. His mood slowly dipped.
Do you know what? When you work in the media, you get to realise what a dog-eat-dog world it is out there. But I've got to say about these two, not only are they absolutely superb judges, there is not an inch of rivalry between them. They're magnanimous and they always cheer on each other's tips. They're a pleasure to work with. Let's hope you've got some more good stuff for us. Let's get stuck into the World Cup final. 4 o'clock on Sunday in the Luzhniki Stadium. It's France versus Croatia. Jason Murphy, how do Paddy Power bet on the 90 minutes and on who is going to win the World Cup?
Yeah, so France will go off rightly favs 10-11, Croatia 7-2, and the draw is 9-4. And then to lift the cup, you have France 4-9, Croatia 7-4.
Okay, Mark, we'll start with you. What sort of game do you think we're going to have here? A cagey or a thriller?
No, they're nearly always cagey, these World Cup ones. Four of the last six have gone to extra time. Both teams have scored in only one of the last seven World Cup finals. Six of those seven have been under. Three of the six of them have finished no goal score as well in 90 minutes. I think teams are tired at this stage. I mean, you know, the games have been hectic. Everything that goes with winning, the emotion of that, you know, and then what's at stake. I think you do tend to get cagey World Cup finals. I mean, it's struggle to remember the last really good World Cup final. I mean, 86,
it was weird.
Maybe?
19... Was it 1990, the 3-2 Argentina-Germany?
No, that was 86.
86. And yet that actually was a weirdly dull match, as
yeah,
I mean,
and it was still better than sort of that 94 one between Brazil and Italy. Oh. And I mean, France-Brazil was dramatic in 98, you know, with Ronaldo. Was he going to play? Was he not going to play? But they tend to be, you know, moments that you remember rather than actual finals. So I'm not expecting a classic. And the way that France have played throughout this tournament, I don't expect a classic either. They've controlled matches, and there's a lot of debate as to whether Deschamps, you know, should be doing more with what's at his disposal. But
Belgium were quite critical of them, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. But I mean, he is a pragmatic guy. He was as a footballer. He's not changed as a manager. And I'd like to see them be more expressive. I think they've got the ability maybe to go down like how we talk about the Dutch teams in the past and maybe even the Spanish one, but I don't think he's got any interest in sort of, you know, winning those kinds of accolades. He just wants to win trophies.
He wants to win trophies, not friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
So Mark, where will you be putting your shekels?
Yeah, I mean, I thought France, they were 4-6 after they beat Belgium in the semi-final, and I was struggling to work out like, what price were they going to be if England went through? Because I think they would have been absolute max bet at sort of, I don't know, 8 to 11 or something like that. I think France will win. In all what I've spoken about there, maybe France to win to nil if you're looking for a bit more value. I think they've been excellent defensively, you know, Lloris in goal. They're playing with four very defence-minded defenders with Pavard and Hernandez, who, you know, could be centre-halves, really, alongside Umtiti and Varane, and then Kante in front of them. And then they're looking, you know, to the pace and of Mbappe, and then the bits of moments from Griezmann that he's been delivering from set pieces. And I think Croatia have, you know, they've had their time, and it's time to go for them.
Do you remember that first game, France-Australia, and Laurenson spent the whole of the game wrecking Pavard, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think on one of my WhatsApp groups, he's now referred to as Pouvard after the back of what Laurenson was saying after that first game. But I mean, he's now been linked with Man City and Bayern Munich, so.
Unbelievable. So you are going to go for a tight game in which France will win to nil.
Yeah, because I think once they go 1-0 up, I think they'll just look to shut the game out like they did. I mean, against Belgium, the way they shut the game out last half an hour was really impressive.
Varane.
I've got him down as sort of one of the players of the tournament. I thought he was brilliant. Kante as well. And I don't think Croatia will get the same kind of space that they did against England. That's
okay,
for sure.
Thank you, Mark. Dan Childs, what's your World Cup final verdict?
No, I'm going to have to play it straight down the line here as well. France to win in 90 minutes. I think it's shade of odds on. Is, you know, under the circumstances, it's the fourth game in 15 days for Croatia. I mean, the previous three, as we know, have all gone to extra time. That is, whoever you are, I know they finished the game strong against England and look strong, but I think that's probably more the case of England wilting as well under the circumstances. I do think that the midfield three that they've played with in most of the games, with Brozovic coming in, suits them better, and it did so against England.
And we saw a little more from Rakitic last night,
a bit
didn't
more from Rakitic. I mean, as the game went on, they absolutely dominated the midfield and were worthy winners on the night. They have had more possession in five of their six matches. France have only had more possession in three of six against Australia, Denmark and Uruguay, who were very teams that sat back. So I think Croatia may have more of the ball again, but as we saw when Belgium played France, having more of the ball doesn't necessarily mean you're gonna win the game. What France did against Belgium is they were much better, I thought, without the ball. Belgium, with all the class players they got, De Bruyne, Hazard, they can pick holes for you, but France defended really, really well. Kante doing his usual job. Varane, as Mark mentioned, was superb as well. And the fullbacks defensively are pretty strong as well. They tuck in and make it really difficult to play through. So, I just think France will win the game. Croatia, if you fancy them, maybe an interesting one would be to back them to win on penalties, because the goalkeeper has looked a real ace penalty saver, and I think he may have be a better penalty saver than Lloris in a shootout. So if you fancy them, maybe that's an exciting route to go down. But no, France to win in 90 for me.
Jolly good. Jason, you were obviously sitting watching it over in Ireland with a very dispassionate the two semis. Did you see a big quality gap between the first semi-final and the second one?
Yeah, I think there was a quality gap. I think Belgium, started very well against France, but the way France set up under Deschamps, they gave nothing away, and it's not great to look at, but they are getting the job done. You can't argue with the results that they're getting. I thought Croatia were spooked by the early goal for England, and it's like watching Ireland in the first half. I mean, Rakitic put two balls out over the sideline for throw-ins, like he probably hasn't done that in 4 or 5 years. But Croatia got their act together in the second half, and I thought the quality showed in the end there for Croatia. But I still think France are probably just a step above them. For the final on Sunday, again, as just echo what the boys said, they are tight affairs, these finals. The last two finals have gone to extra time, with the Fabs nicking it 1-0 in the end. I don't think Croatia will be tired. I think it's a World Cup final, like adrenaline has to get you through. But France just have that extra bit of quality on the bench to come through. So if it's tight late on, I can see France nicking it, winning it to nil, as the boy said, or even France to win 1-0 at 9-2, or France to take it an extra time at 15-2 could be a bet. I think Lovren and Vida struggled against Sterling last night. I think it's going to be interesting to see what Mbappe does going up against them. If you're looking for goal scorers, Giroud has had 13 shots in the tournament so far, but he's had zero on target. For me, I think Griezmann is always a bet. He's been quality since the start of the year with Atletico Madrid. He scored plenty of goals in the last Euros, scored the winner in the Europa League final as well. In this tournament, only Harry Kane has been involved in more goals. Griezmann scored 3, he's assisted 2. and he's been involved in 20 goals in his last 20 games for France, scoring 12 goals and 8 assists. So I can tell you now, for first goal scorer, Griezmann at 9-2 is a bet. He's on penalties, he's on direct free kicks, hit the crossbar against Argentina. So have a look at any time, have a look at Griezmann man the match markets when they come out, or even Griezmann outside the box if you're getting 16-20, 20-1 on that, given that he's playing that bit of a deeper role. He had a few shots against Belgium outside the box as well. So I think Griezmann to have a big game, France to win a tight game, that's the way I'd be looking.
And just on that, I mean, Dan mentioned about Subasic saving penalties. He's looked very susceptible, actually, to shots outside the box. You remember he was blamed in some parts for the Cheryshev goal that Russia scored. I don't think his positioning was great. Not sure he would have saved it. And even the free kick last night, I mean, some goalkeepers would have set things up differently for that. You know, as soon as Trippier gets
over
the
wall. The wall was on the wrong side.
Hoddle said that before it had actually been taken, that he thought the wall was on the wrong side. I mean, I think it's just our goalkeepers prefer it, but he certainly has looked a bit dodgy from sort of the long range effort. So that might be another little tick in Griezmann's box.
That will be one of those tips that I remember when Griezmann just smashed one in from 30 yards. We go, Jason said that on the bloody postcast. Okay, chap. So Mark is going for a narrow France win to nil. Dan's going for a neat France win in 90 minutes, and Jason is also echoing though 1-0 France. Thank you very much, chaps. That's the World Cup final. We'll do the third, fourth place playoff next.
We're going money back mad here at Paddy Power. We're offering money back as a free bet on all losing goal scorer, what odds Paddy, and correct score bets on selected games. Check our app today for more information. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. Let's look at the most annoying, stupid, unnecessary game of the whole World Cup. It's the third, fourth playoff. No idea why they persevere with it. Everyone just wants to get back home, be with their loved ones, but they've got to go through the rigmarole of another game. It takes place in St. Petersburg at 3 p.m. on Saturday. It's England reserves against Belgium reserves for the second time in the tournament, or at least that's what I'm presuming it is. Dan, will they rest a few people, give everyone a chance, or is there still a bit to play for?
I think the question mark is more on the Belgian team with Romelu Lukaku. He's two goals behind Harry Kane in a race for the Golden Boot. I mean, you could argue that the Golden Boot is kind of more high profile and is remembered a lot more who wins it. Well, more than you could argue it is than winning the third and fourth place playoff. So will Martinez give him the chance to go and get close to Kane there? I think by and large, I think it will be England reserves against Belgium reserves. And I'm going to go for the draw here. The first game, I mean, Belgium were slightly better and just about deserved to win. But you have to remember, before the game, England went off as marginal favourites. And I'm looking at the betting now here, and Belgium are only a shade of odds against to win the match. Fatigue, certainly physical fatigue won't be a problem for England. Mental fatigue might be in terms of losing that game. But because it's going to be new players, you know, they're going to be well rested.
Has Southgate said this, that he's going to be resting?
No, we don't know. I'm giving my best guess.
Yeah,
really,
yeah,
but,
sure.
I would expect a lot of changes. And like I say, they were narrow favourites, England, to win that game. It was a close enough game. I mean, obviously Belgium probably had more chances, but Courtois did make that very good save, didn't he, from Rashford in the second half. So, no, I just think it'll be tight. One thing I would mention, if there are a lot of changes on the Belgian side, Thorgan Hazard played in the first match. He has got 20 goals in 80 games for Borussia Mönchengladbach. At youth levels for Belgium, he's got 10 in 23 for the under-19s, 9 in 15 for the under-21s. He's 9-2 to score any time. I just thought that looked a decent bet.
So that's
the bet,
is it, for you?
No, the bet, my best bet for the game is a draw.
Oh, OK,
which is, I think, 13-5, a draw. But Thorgan Hazard, one to think about as well.
Mark, Dan mentions that no one remembers third, fourth. He's absolutely right there. The only one I can ever remember is the one in Italy, England versus whoever it was. And I can't even remember that very well. So is there any sort of trend that we can look at here?
No, I don't think there
is. Are they high scoring?
They have tended. I mean, Holland beat Brazil, didn't they, 4 years ago?
I've no idea.
I wondered whether Belgium may take it a bit more seriously, just because some of their players will be their last World Cup. I wouldn't expect Vertonghen to be around in 4 years' time. I mean, you know, your company maybe not. I just wondered whether some of them may actually want to play in a final World Cup game.
And also, Mark, do you feel they're probably slightly more indignant of the two beaten semi-finalists? I think they kind of felt a little angrier. We kind of, well, we did well, you know, we'd love to have got there, but I think they were properly pissed off, aren't they?
They were, yeah. I mean, they were, and I think it's probably right, because they're thinking now, if they would have lost that beating game, then they'd probably be in the final. And it's just so happened that, you know, the way the draw worked out. I think their reserves are better than England's. I thought they were well worth that 1-0 before. So, I mean, I think Belgium, not a game, I mean, it's a friendly, isn't it? So, I mean, I mean, if you're going to have a bet, I would rather be on Belgium in a high-scoring game. Maybe even Belgium on the half-time, full-time double result, just in case there is that kind of dip from England early on that they're not quite with it.
Are you going to watch it?
Well, I will do because it's on in the afternoon. If it was in the evening, I wouldn't bother.
No. Are you going to watch it, Dan?
If I'm not having a bet on the game, no. I remember watching the one in 1990, England against Italy, and I wish I hadn't really. You know, from at the time, it was just such a
the game
a
is. So just say to Amy, like, I really want to watch the England Belgium game. So important. But listen, I know I've been watching a lot of football lately. So let's go to the Garden Centre.
Casualty or whatever.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Jason, what's your view? Have you got a hot betting take for us on the third, fourth?
I would wait and see what the team news is before getting stuck into anything, really. In these playoff matches, there's been at least 3 goals in every third-place playoff since 1974. So I'd be looking at maybe, I fancy Belgium, all right, waiting on team news, but Belgium and maybe over 2.5 goals at 2-1. Or maybe Belgium and both teams to score there, you could get 13-5. I think really, though, the interest for me is all about the golden boot. If FIFA wanted to drum up a bit of interest in it, I'd take that goal that Kane got against Panama, that deflection, I'd take it off him just to make it a bit more tighter. And
he shouldn't have got it. It's ridiculous. It's going in.
It's a joke. It really is. But the third place playoff is more or less about the top goal scorer, like you've talked about. Scalacci scored a penalty with 4 minutes left in the 1990 match to win it. Suker scored in 98 to win it. Muller got one in 2010 to win it. So it's just Lukaku versus Kane. And then let's look forward to Sunday.
Okay, what's the match prices?
Belgium 6-5, the draw 13-5, and England 21-10 at the moment. And then to finish third as such, Belgium 13-20, England 5-4.
Okay, now then, the boys have been working on a special bet for us, and Paddy Power have enhanced the price. So before the show, we all got together. I didn't actually, because my opinions are absolutely irrelevant, but the boys who actually know what they're talking about got together, and they have agreed on a special bet to encapsulate the final and the third, fourth. It is this: France to win 2-0, which everyone seems to agree is a good bet, and Belgium to win and both teams to score. So that double should be 17-2. And Jason, what price have you bunged it up to us for?
Yeah, we're going to enhance it to a nice 10-1.
10-1, and that's available now, isn't it? On all channels, I believe.
Yeah, that'll be up on site, yep.
Well done. Now, a quick word before we do our review of the tournament. Just, we're talking about this Lukaku versus Kane for the third, fourth. Guys, Harry Kane, he's been a little bit like VAR in this tournament. Very prominent and, you know, making lots of headlines early on and then barely noticeable towards the end. What's going on there, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he played well against Colombia without, you know, he scored the penalty, but he sort of led the line well. I think he'd come to the point where he was playing quite deep. I mean, and they were doing this thing where they wanted Sterling to kind of be the one that stretched opponents, and they ended up not getting him close enough to goal, which is actually, I mean, me and Dan both suggested Raheem Sterling as a bet for top England scorer at the start, and it didn't work out, but the theory was that Kane would drop deep and Sterling would be the most prominent figure, and I think that did happen. Obviously, you know, Sterling didn't score his chances and Kane got a load of penalties, but
that's is he okay though?
I think he's okay. Yeah, I mean, I think he just ran himself into the ground. Yeah, really, yeah. I mean, I think he'd given everything really to the cause. Maybe that captaincy is he maybe doesn't need it. You know, he's a burden. I think.
I thought he was a good captain.
I thought he was a good captain, but I don't know if the burden of sort of being on the front page of, you know, the paper every time England play and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it must weigh quite heavily on you, I would have thought.
Well, sap the energy, and that could be an additional factor as to the Sweden game and the Croatia game. I just felt he just looked leggy, didn't he? He didn't look have the sharpness.
He did. And I know you two are both Spurs fans, but I've got to say there's a lot of Spurs players still very much at it, and we're in mid-July. I'd be keen to oppose them early on. Okay, let's
Eric
look
Lamella
back.
Eric Lamella and Lucas Moura could be a bit of an early runner.
Yeah, yeah. Walker Peters.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, it has been a wonderful World Cup. We will look back on it, and then we'll also look ahead to the next 2 major tournaments in just a mo.
We're going money back mad here at Paddy Power. We're offering money back as a free bet on all losing goal scorer, what odds Paddy, and correct score bets on selected games. Check our app today for more information. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Okay, welcome back to the last of our World Cup Racing Post Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, joined by Mark Langdon, Dan Childs and Jason Murphy from Paddy Power. We will look back on what has been a really, really brilliant World Cup. Best World Cup we can ever remember, chaps, Mark?
Yeah, it's for me. Yeah, absolutely.
Dan?
Quality-wise, yeah, I'm still going to remember 1990 a bit more, I think, just from an England perspective, that they did get knocked out in that occasion. I thought they matched a really, really good team. And I think they would have won the final then if they'd have got there. Argentina weren't great this time. I don't think they would have beaten France if they'd have got through anyway.
Jason, have you rated this right up there with all the World Cups in your lifetime?
Absolutely. It's like that joke going around, the father and son sitting down, and the son says, "Dad, why is my sister called Rose?" And the father says, "It's because your mother absolutely fell in love with roses." And then the son says, "Well, what about me, Dad?" "Well, that's a great story, FIFA World Cup 2018. Yeah, best I can remember. I loved France 98, but yeah.
It's been brilliant, hasn't it? Okay, let's go through a few bests. Best match, Mark Langdon.
I've got three written down because it's been so brilliant. But
I'm going to come to you last then, because Dan Childs.
Probably your best match as well, Belgium against Brazil. I just thought it was a fantastic match. Both teams going at each other. De Bruyne's goal was one of the goals of the tournament. And Brazil, you know, it was a great fight back towards the end as well. And they're probably a little bit unlucky in the end. But just two heavyweights going at each other, both attacking each other. Brilliant match.
Jason, what's yours?
Honourable mentions to Belgium, Japan and France, Argentina. But for me, Spain, Portugal on the Friday night. That's when it really all kicked off and it hasn't looked back since. Just that Ronaldo moment, like he's pulling up the shorts. He's had 50 free kicks in knockout or in big competitions for Portugal. Never scored a free kick. You're thinking, this is going. God only knows where it's going. And then he absolutely pings it in the top corner. I mean, it's just a great game. Nacho's goal as well was quality in it. Definitely Spain, Portugal.
It was a great game, but I also think it's one of the travesties. I think Spain absolutely trounced them in that. Mark, what have you got left?
What was
the top three?
Spain, Portugal, Belgium, Brazil, and I've put France, Argentina. That was the most fun game for me, for loads of different reasons. I mean, you had the Di Maria goal, the Mbappe run that set up the penalty, then Mbappe's goals, and it was just topped off. I just sent a message to someone and said, the only way this game can get any better is if Aguero comes on and Nick's top Argentinian scorer, and then like in the 94th minute he converted that for a 7-1 winner. So I just thought it was so fun. So unlike France, and we spoke about France quite a lot, just quickly, the one time they've had to actually put their foot down, they did in that game. You know, when they were behind, 15 minutes later they'd won the game. So I think there's a lot more to come from
I will
that.
Chuck Germany Sweden in as well. I thought that was absolutely superb, had everything. Best player of the tournament, Jason Murphy.
I think Luka Modric is in with a great shout of actually getting it. Mbappe, that little flick to put Giroud in the other night was unbelievable. But I think Griezmann has been really impressive playing in that deeper role. He's just picking the ball up, keeping the passes going, stitching it all together. I think whoever has the bigger game on Sunday should get best player of the tournament.
Okay. Mark, player of the tournament for you?
I think it's Varane. I think France defensively have been excellent apart from that game against Argentina. And even then, I mean, the goals they conceded, there was one amazing goal, one fluke, and then another one that was sort of a consolation. I think Varane has just been brilliant, and the way he marshalled Lukaku in the semi-final just really stood out. And, you know, Luis Suarez didn't do anything in that quarter-final, did he either? So I think Varane has really stepped up.
Are you slightly worried, by the way, Mark? Because one of your best tips of the World Cup was Mbappe at 40s for the Golden Ball, but you did make the point at the time that players wearing Adidas boots tend to do well. He's got Nikes on, hasn't he?
Yeah, so I mean, most of the Adidas, nearly all of the Adidas ones are already gone home. I think in terms of Adidas, it's Pogba and Kante are the two, but I mean, I think even though I tipped Mbappe, I feel like Modric sort of deserves something from this World Cup, and I don't think he's getting the outright trophy, so maybe he deserves it. Unlikely to go to a centre-half. I just think Varane has been the best player.
And Dan?
Luka Modric, for me, he's been by far the outstanding player for a small country. I mean, getting to their first ever World Cup final is just a massive, massive thing for Croatia in itself. I mean, you go through the tournament, the game against Argentina, scored a brilliant goal in that match, had a great game. And even some of the games that where Croatia didn't play so well in the knockout game, he was still standing out. And thinking about the Denmark game, he was still standing out as their best player. The one player that was really making them tick against England as well last night. I just thought he ran the midfield for large periods of the game, and you know, if they go on to win it, it will be in large part down to him.
Take something special as well to miss a penalty that late in extra time against Denmark and step back up and then score in the shootout. I mean, I wouldn't fancy doing that.
You're both Spurs fans. How long did it take you to fall in love with him when he joined Spurs?
No, I had the Croatia shirt when he signed. Still, I absolutely loved him from that Euros before. Yeah, I mean, he's... heart of a lion, sort of finesse of a ballet dancer.
Beautiful player. Amazing. Who's been the best manager, Mark Langdon?
I've gone for Oscar Tabarez of Uruguay. I mean, because he was in charge of them in 1990 and he's been away, but to still be there, you know, he's got a walking stick these days. But I thought the way he changed Uruguay's team, that they started off, it wasn't functioning at all, and then he moved to a diamond, and when he moved to the diamond, it worked really well, and he was unlucky that Cavani got injured for that quarterfinal
against France.
And
they were in the hard part of the draw. You know, they easily got to the final.
Yeah, exactly. It's another one of those where if they actually don't beat Russia, maybe they're in the final. I thought he did really well.
OK, Dan?
I'm going to go for Deschamps, actually. He's had a hell of a lot of stick, especially from... the French media and French supporters, but at the end of the day, he stuck to his guns, and tactically, I think in the big games, he's got it right. And you know, when I look at they don't have much of the ball a lot of the time, but they do defend so well, and they are a threat on the break. And I also look at individual players. I look at Pogba, how hard he's working for that team. Caught my eye against Belgium and Griezmann as well. When Belgium are trying to like build a bit of possession and build it up from the back, how hard these players are working, that, especially in Pogba's case, that don't always work that hard.
We had such a quiet season, not working for
Mourinho. But part of it, they do seem... Obviously, it's a World Cup, but I think he has got it tactically right in a way. I know their football... might not be, you know, that easy on the eye, but I do think they're going to go on and win it.
I saw somebody say that the difference is that was a World Cup semi-final. You know, you shouldn't be asked to be doing that against Brighton at home. Sort of, you know, you should get a bit more licence. So,
yeah, I mean, maybe fair enough. Something in that. Jason, coach of the tournament for you?
Two shout-outs. I think Carlos Queiroz with Iran, they were very unlucky not to get out of the group at the end.
If they'd stuck that last chance in, they would have won the group.
Taremi, the little winger, 4 minutes of injury time. And even the goal Portugal scored, Quaresma, was, again, what a great goal that was too. So Iran, they were unlucky. But I think Dalic, given that, you know, he only got the job at the end of qualifying, they had to get a result in the Ukraine, which they did, came through the playoff against Greece. And he's got them through to the final. Like, I think, you know, he definitely has to be in with a shout at best manager of the tournament.
I will speak up for a guy in a waistcoat who guided a fairly limited team to the semis with a bit of luck along the way, but with a lot of dignity. He's made the nation fall back in love with the national team. There was none of this old nonsense. We're not going to tell you the results of our ping pong tournament. Gareth Southgate, well done, my friend. Take a bow. Absolutely superb. He's not my friend, but... we sort of all wish he was our friend. Let's have a look at the most surprising team, or the underdog you like the best. Who are you going to go for, Jason?
For me, I didn't rate them coming into the tournament, and I thought they had a bit of luck getting out of the group as well. That would be Japan. You know, the sending off in the first game, Colombia, penalty after a minute. Senegal keeper made a mistake to get him a 2-2 draw. But having said that, they absolutely surprised me against Belgium. I thought they were so well organised. They went 2-0 up, took their chances, and unfortunately just ran out a bit of steam at the end. And that corner, like, I think he was right to put the corner in. Or maybe Belgium do have a height advantage, but they just broke at such space, speed, to actually nick the game then in the last minute. I thought Japan, fair play to them, the way they played in the match, and they were unlucky.
Okay, most surprising team for you, good or bad, Dan Charles?
No, I'd go with Japan as well. I just thought that they were shambles, really, not that long before the tournament. Sacked Halil Hodžić, Akira Nishino came in and you know, he was trying different systems to try and get the team playing well. Before the start of that group, I have to say, I did that group, and I didn't give them a cat and hell's chance of getting out of that group. I thought they'd be bottom. I know they got a lot of luck, you know, with a Colombia game, with a, you know, the sending off, you know, and the penalty set them on their way. But after that, I thought the Senegal game, there was a theme that they were getting stronger during games. They finished the second half stronger against Senegal and could have even won that game. The Belgian game, I was even more impressed. I thought they grew into that game. And even when it went 2-2, they looked as likely to me to win the game as Belgium. They were still creating chances, opening Belgium up, and they kind of lost the game by going for it at the end, didn't they? They had so many players fall for that corner and got done on a break. But no, I thought they did really well considering the terrible build-up they had.
We talked about that Japan-Colombia game, Mark. How many red cards in the tournament? You probably know this, don't you?
What? Four.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I think the spread was about 12 before.
Refs have been very lenient.
Very lenient, particularly with on the professional fouls around about the halfway line with people breaking up counter attacks. Most surprising team, Mark?
I'll go for Russia. Every time there's a World Cup anywhere, it's always going to be the worst World Cup for a variety of reasons. And, you know, this one, from all you hear reports back, it's been great. So on and off the pitch, I think Russia have done a good job in hosting it. And, you know, they did the country proud on the pitch as well. I mean, you know, they wasn't always the prettiest to reach the quarterfinals, but they set the tournament off with that 5-0 against Saudi Arabia. Nobody else thumped Saudi Arabia like that. I thought Golovin and people, you know, he was really good. Dzyuba came in, sort of throwback, sort of 1980s style striker. Yeah, they were good. Just a very quick mention as well for Belgium and Roberto Martinez, because I thought that they would get done tactically and they didn't. And he kept changing it, and I thought most of his tactical changes worked really well.
Dembele wasn't such a hit, was it?
No, but
he'd run out of options virtually.
Yeah, I didn't think the shape wasn't wrong.
No,
I mean,
it was just the performance.
It looked a confusing sort of shape.
I texted you, I was like, what's going on? I got the Courtois was in goal, but that was a bit of a mystery.
Yeah, but most of the stuff he did, Lukaku out wide, I mean, that surprised me that he did so well.
I'm going to go for next up, best goal, because there were lots to choose from. It was absolutely brilliant, wasn't it? Jason, you can go first.
Just for quality of a strike and watching it from any angle, the bend on the ball, Pavard against Argentina, I think was just, I thought Nacho's against Spain, for Spain against Portugal, wouldn't be beaten, but it was an identical goal, but just
but
10
better.
Times better.
It was astonishing, wasn't it? Absolutely brilliant. That's mine as well. Mark?
I'm going to go for Toni Kroos' his free kick. I mean, I still don't know how he found the angle to put that in. I know they went out, but at the time, that felt like such a massive goal, didn't it?
And what about that poor sod who backed to Cruz to see? He had like the final leg of a multi-bet was to score outside the box, wasn't it? They took a short free kick inside. That was unbelievable. And Dan?
I'll go for that Mbappe counter-attacking goal against Argentina. I mean, that was just such a slick move. Everything had to be right. Great finish at the end of it.
Yeah, there's been some real crackers. It's been absolutely superb. Jason, who has won the battle between the punters and the bookmakers? Obviously, the last domestic season, the bookmakers won by an embarrassing distance. I know you never like to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth in these situations, Jason, but I think the bookies have won this, haven't they?
Last night was a massive result. Like, we would have been quite nervous for numerous reasons if England had got through to the final on Sunday. But having said that, you know, when you are placing a bet, you just want to get a bit of a run over it. I was on Uruguay myself, 25s, but, you know, they were unlucky to go against France. But anyone that backed England can't have any complaints. Like, they've definitely had a good time and they've definitely got value out of their bet.
But you did win.
We've done all right anyways. Yeah.
They've cleaned up. Mark, what would you have done differently? What would you love to have known beforehand that you didn't know?
Fernando Hierro is going to be the Spain manager. No, I mean, the one for me, the gutting one for me is walking off Croatia as the best dark horse. I mean, I did put them up in a couple of preview shows, including the Racing Post one, because somebody else had said Uruguay before me and I gave a different one. I mean, in the Racing Post book, not to be confused with the pullout, in the book it's how to back each team. And for Croatia, I had a look this morning just to make sure I had to, it was back them each way for the World Cup. So that is the one. It was either them or Uruguay were going to be the outsiders. And it looked like Uruguay had an easier path, which is why I went for them. But, you know, Croatia ended up with the easy draw, didn't they? So that's a bit of a sickener. Not only have they beaten England, but they're in the final.
That's not ideal, is it? Dan, let's look ahead to 2 years first. Got Euro 2020. First of all, just take us through the format changes, because it's all a bit different this time, isn't it? Just in terms of venues.
Oh, the venues. Well, England, that looked like
it's being played all over Europe.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It is. But from an English point of view, it looks like most of the games would actually be at home, which would give England, you would think, a decent chance. So I think one game maybe not in England, but they could have a run of mainly
the
home
final
matches.
And the semis are at Wembley, aren't they?
Yeah,
and they've also picked up some group games.
So
Dan, just looking at England, I think they're around about 10-1 you can get for the for the Euros. Do you expect progression here? Or is the reality that they're fairly average, they got a bit lucky, they overperformed, the draw went well, and there's not that much difference between them and the teams that have tried and failed before?
I think it's a young team, so you can expect a bit of progression, but I think there are there's problems with a team that I'm not sure are going to be resolved. Right from the start of the tournament, the lack of quality midfielders was an issue, and the first time we've played like a really good side, it's been exposed, hasn't it? I mean, Croatia just bossed the midfield in that game, and we do lack a player that can get on the ball and dictate matches, and I'm struggling really to see one coming through. But I do the way the team is set up, it is probably more to counter attack and a hit with pace, and the elements of that side, a lot of them are probably going to improve in years to come because it's a young side. So I think they'll be better, but are you going to get a better draw than we've just had? So you could have a better team, but still not go as far. That's going to be the issue, I think.
Mark, who might be the players that could come in and make a difference for England?
Yeah, I mean, when Dan was sort of mentioning that sort of midfield player that can get on the ball, Cook at Bournemouth might be one. He's done well for the England youth teams. I mean, Winks was in some of the qualification. I mean, he played really well in the Champions League away to Real Madrid, suffered an injury. Dembele's leaving Tottenham, it looks like, in the summer. So presumably he'll get more opportunities there. I mean, he's definitely somebody that Southgate likes. I think we've got Mason Mount at Chelsea will come through. Sessegnon at Fulham, I mean, I think he'll be in the team.
I was going to say, Sessegnon and TAA at fullbacks, yeah, give us some options.
I mean, yeah, they? I mean, Trippier's.
Well, exactly.
There's definitely good players coming through. But then you look at France, I mean, there's really good players coming through from there.
That kid in Mbappe, yeah, he's 19. Yeah, he might be ready in 2 years.
Yeah, none of that team is old. I mean, apart from Giroud, I mean, you know, they've got a conveyor belt off the bench just ready to come through. And you have a look, I mean, they reached the World Cup final in 1998. They reached the World Cup final in 2006. They've reached Euro finals a couple, in recent times. They're in this final. I think they'll be a difficult team to beat in 2 years' time. I thought it was very interesting. Gary Neville said after Euro 96, they felt like that would be the start of something. And actually, it was the end, you know, because they didn't get that opportunity again, and you never ever know when it's going to come around again. It could, you know, it may never happen.
Absolutely. Jason, I'm going to ask you this. Give me the Euro 2020 winners, and then give me the winners of the 2022 World Cup.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Nice and simple.
Yeah, thanks very much. For me, look, you'd have to say France, it's looking like they'll be going into the Euros as world champions. You have Mbappe, Griezmann, Varane, Umtiti at the back. Like, they just have quality throughout. Since they won the World Cup in 98, like, they have, they've gotten to another final there in 2006, the World Cup. They're in another final now again. They've been good in the Euros, unlucky to lose against Portugal. So for me, it's hard, like, to look outside France winning Euro 2020. Looking ahead to 2022, again, it's a fair bit down the road. Like, you know, your Ronaldos and Messis are probably going to be in nursing homes at that stage. I think England have a lot to be optimistic about. Sound like Al Pacino here, but there was a game of inches last night. Like, you know, Perisic did so well to get the goal. I think John Stones, when Perisic goes up to win the header, like, he's in a good position, but he's just an inch too slow to react when Mandzukic is in. You know, these are little differences between getting to a final or not. But the big thing is you've got that penalty shootout monkey off your back. This team has a good experience. A lot of these players are going to be going to that 2022 World Cup. And like I said, the underage success England are having recently, you know, they can look forward to doing well over there. So again, we'll see. It's 4 years, a long time away, but can't wait for it either.
We will dig that piece of footage out in 4 years' time, Jason, when England win the World Cup in Qatar, and say what a judge that guy was. You'll be a multi-millionaire by then. Mark, what are your two teams? 2020 winner, 2022 winner.
Yeah, I mean, I would say France for Euro 2020 would be my certainly favourites at this point. In terms of 22, I agree. I think England have got the best young players in the world. I mean, and there's no embarrassment in saying that, I don't think. You know, if you win the under 20 and under 17 World Cup, I think you absolutely deserve that. Someone like Jadon Sancho at Dortmund, didn't mention him as somebody that's, I mean, he'll definitely be a superstar as well. So I think England would be one. I would also say Germany. I mean, you look at the fact that their B team won the Confederations Cup, their sort of then C team won the European under 21 championship. Okay, it didn't work out for them now. I think by the time we get to the next World Cup, they'll be on for a cycle.
Okay, and Dan?
I'll go with France definitely in 2 years' time. I just think they're going to be stronger still. they're going to have a good chance in the World Cup in 4 years' time as well, let's be honest. How many of their players in the team are actually going to be over the top, you know, in 4 years' time? I mean, a lot of them, if
how
anything, are better. So, well, they probably may need a new goalkeeper by then, but he'll be, what, 35, 36 by then? So goalkeepers, you know, do
go on forever.
Yeah, go on forever. So, no, I'll second with Germany as well, because they have got, you know, a lot of ability. I think they're just... It's an easy thing to say and a bit of a caricature about arrogance, but I do think they did get a little bit arrogant after the World Cup, and the way they were playing, there was too much, there wasn't enough focus on defence. They were playing matches and there was no protection really for the defence, and I just think if they get a bit more humble again, they have got the talent there. I mean, they could even go close in 2 years' time. The ability's there.
Lovely stuff. Okay, that wraps up our World Cup post, guys. It's been fantastic. Thanks to Mark and Dan. You've been a pleasure to have on throughout the tournament. Jason, you and your pals over in Paddy Power have been fantastic as well. Thanks for all your wisdom and your winners. I hope you enjoyed them. I hope you've enjoyed the World Cup. I hope, unlike me, you didn't lose too much money backing Belgium. Never mind, we're back in a few weeks for the start of the domestic season. So back every Thursday with Racing Post football postcasts. Then we've also got, excitingly, new weekly golf postcasts. They start next week when Steve Palmer and I will be looking ahead to the British Open. And I'm back tomorrow for the Racing Postcast, looking ahead to Super Saturday, the highlight of which is the July Cup at Newmarket. Don't forget, if you enjoy the shows, please do make sure you comment, rate, review and subscribe on iTunes, YouTube and SoundCloud. Until next time, goodbye.
We're going money back mad here at Paddy Power. We're offering money back as a free bet on all losing goal scorer, what odds Paddy and correct score bets on selected games. Check our app today for more information. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Begambleaware.org.